Good evening. You're listening to KKRN 88.5 FM out of Round Mountain, and this is Jim Dowling. I'll be your host tonight on a show called Right Stuff. Right Stuff, if you haven't heard it before, is all about writers, and I bring them on the show, a different writer every month, and I interview them. We have a nice little chat. Sometimes they read their material. You get to know a writer, sometimes local, sometimes from out of town. Today I have Jessica Fletcher in the studio here, and thanks for coming in, Jessica.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Oh, you betcha.
Happy to be here.
And Jessica is big time into theater arts here in town. If you've been to the Cascade or seen things at Axiom or the Riverfront Theater sometime in the last few years, there's a good chance you've experienced something that Jessica has had at least a hand in. Jessica has, she's been an actor, script writer, director, stage manager for Axiom Theater, the Cascade Theater, Riverfront Playhouse, Harris Studios. She is also a theater professor at Shasta College. I would say Jessica was born for theater. She's really involved in this town, and she is a local. She's lived here for 13 years. She wrote a script for Curtain Up, a full-length documentary film for the Cascade Theater. She's played in Axiom Repertory Theater's Spamalot. She's performing right now in the Vagina Monologues through this September of this year. Yeah, so it's great to have Jessica here. You've been involved in, you've had a passion for theater that goes way back in time, right?
I have. I loved theater from a very young age. My aunt took me to see a show, a small little community theater down in Los Angeles, Pasadena area, when I was younger. I think her best friend was in it, and it was a tiny little musical at a hole-in-the-wall theater, and I was magically transported, and I just wanted to be up on that stage living in that world that they were creating there. It was my first time experiencing anything like that, and I immediately was drawn to playing these mystical characters, these otherworldly characters, and to see these other actors on stage getting to look like they were just having so much fun singing and dancing and telling a story. Like, that to me was, I felt like I really connected with some of the characters, and I really, that was where my love of storytelling and theater began.
Did you get involved in elementary school plays and that sort of thing?
I did. My first play was in third grade, and I was, we were like cast by our teachers, and I remember that I was a little girl that was having to save Christmas, and I had to step into a phone booth and ask the operator to connect me with Santa Claus. And that's the only part of the play I remember. But I really I remembered getting up there and getting to play a different character, and seeing the way that the audience followed the story. You know, mm-hmm. They cared about the characters.
Yeah.
That was always really magical for me to see how an entirely new world could appear in front of an audience.
And that's the appeal today. I mean,
it is.
Isn't that what it's all about?
It is. It's creating something on stage that makes us see the world in a different way, or gives us a better knowing of our place in the world, or a little different version of that.
As a little kid, I used to watch Lassie. Mm-hmm. And I was, and the show would bring me to tears as a little kid. And I was like, how do they do that?
Right.
This isn't real life.
Well, one thing I talk to my students about is, why do we do theater? Why is that important? Why is it important that we tell these stories? And a big part of that is catharsis. It's identifying with these characters and experiencing a place to have those emotions, a place to feel those things that we need to feel in order to grow as human beings, or maybe it takes you back to a specific moment in your past.
Sure.
that brings you back to that. There's the human experience is really at the bottom of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that that magic of affecting other people.
Yeah, well, how do we relate to each other? What are the universal human experiences, emotions, trials, Wow.
Wow. Well, let's we'll get into that when we talk about the course that you offer. But right now, I kind of want to get back to this is interesting to me anyway. You went to UC Santa Barbara and you got your bachelor's in dramatic art.
Yes.
And you wrote a play called Spontaneous Combustion, which got a lot of recognition. Best student written one act for an original play.
Yeah. And I have to say, I started writing because I was discouraged as an actor, ultimately. I mean, that's kind of how my journey unfolded, is I wanted to be an actor. And long story short, people were telling me, this isn't the program for you if you don't want to be in it, you know, or we don't feel that you're a good fit for this program, which, you know, when it's a program of 25 people, out of how many, you know, they can be picky. And for me to have to accept that and go, okay, well, now what am I going to do? At UC Santa Barbara, they have a BFA acting program. And so I should probably premise this by saying the first year that you're in the program is kind of like a, my journey with script writing began because I felt that what I was trying to accomplish with acting was that I wasn't being encouraged in the direction that I wanted to go. And so when I took a step back from acting and looked at it from a bigger picture, it was like, well, what do I want to do? And what's available at UC Santa Barbara for me to take? I was able to get into the script writing class, and I didn't know who she was at the time, but my script writing instructor ended up being Naomi Izuka, who is still teaching there. Wow. She's an incredible playwright that has gotten many grants and national, international awards for the things that she's written. Yeah. She's worked with Tectonic Theater Company. She's done just some amazing stuff. She's still working there. But anyway, she was my teacher, and I'd never taken a script writing course. I'd taken a ton of English courses. Mm-hmm. I always had a knack for writing essays in high school, but I'd never really come from the perspective of script writing. One of the assignments that she gave us in this semester that I was, or trimester I was writing, she gave us the exercise of, I want you to write something into your script that is an impossible stage direction.
Oh, wow.
And I think the point of that being that we, as, especially for the theater, it's so collaborative.
Sure.
We're writing something that is not going to be our end result. Right. We are writing words for a director to interpret, for other actors to interpret. We don't always have control over what the final product is going to look like.
Right.
Unless we're lucky enough to work on Broadway and we've got the director next to us and they respect our work enough to give us that say. Yeah. I think script writing is definitely a playwright's medium. Ultimately, it's the playwright whose words and all of that is respected. Create a play with an impossible stage direction.
Yeah.
And it gave me, as the playwright, permission to let go of my vision having to be the final say, and to keep in mind that theater is collaborative and that I can put anything on stage that I want to, and I don't have to figure out how that's going to work.
Yeah.
I get, if my play is going to be put up and people are willing to do it, there's going to be people there that are going to figure that out for me. And I'm more than happy to be a part of the process and help with that. But as a playwright, it's not my job to figure out how that happens.
Yeah.
It's to figure out, why is that important to happen on stage, and to make sure that the audience understands why that moment is necessary.
Well, it must have been an inspiring course, because you got recognized for it. It was produced by Actors Gang Theater in Los Angeles. I mean, does it get any better than that for a young student? How old were
you?
Well,
I should say the impossible stage direction that that I actually ended up writing, which ended up being this one act that I wrote called Spontaneous Combustion. It's about a woman who turns into a tree. And that was the impossible stage direction that ended up getting written in. She turns into a tree.
Wow.
So
sort of Kafka-esque.
Director can break that down however they want. But yeah, it was in the production that we did in college. So this ended up being part of their New Works Plays Festival, which Naomi helped to start. It was produced in their studio theater. The director was able to pull some strings with the UCSB staff and get everything coordinated that we had a night of our one acts. There were three different one acts that we took our casts and we all went and performed at a night at the Actors Gang Theater. It was pretty phenomenal.
I have to think so. You know, I look back at my early college years and nothing like that. So that's really neat.
And theater is collaborative. There's no way of getting around it. So the earlier you can jump in and find a job and just learn how to communicate with people and how to work collaboratively.
Yeah.
I look back on my theater experiences, writing experiences, the shows that mean the most to me. I remember the connections that I made with the characters and the other people that were involved in those productions with me. I couldn't tell you what the show was about, you know, most of the time. I mean, I can go back and tell you what it's about, but what I remember of it is not the content of the show. It's the relationships with the people that I built around me that were also involved and invested in the story.
Yeah. Well, you work hard together. You're all passionate about the end product.
Yeah.
Is there ever, well, this is a loaded question, but what if the director and the writer of the script don't see eye to eye? I mean, what if the director's vision never quite matches the, have you ever encountered that?
Knowing that as a playwright, they have to know when to step away, what decisions are story based decisions that are going to affect the story and the characters versus if the set looks the way you want it, is that your call? You know, it's it really, you have to pick your battles. And I think it really comes down to what do you want your audience to experience through this story? What do you want them to walk away with? Yeah. And if your director understands that, then find that that compromise of where they want to stretch things a little further than you might be willing to go or take things in a direction that you may not have considered. Those are the freedoms that you kind of have to give up as a playwright sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been doing this radio theater now for 4 years.
Yes.
And I was so green at it that I was over the top when I could find a director who really wanted to direct one of my
plays.
So it's like, well, you just take it and do what you want with it. I feel differently now. I mean, that's really my vision. I do want it to come across. But at first, I was kind of awestruck that a guy likes it. Take it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, okay, so let's talk about, you know, you're a college professor at Shasta College, and you've got a course called From the Page to the Stage.
That's a class that I should have probably told you that. I don't teach that at Shasta College.
Oh, okay.
This is a lecture course that I've taught. I'll teach workshops through Axiom or the Writers Forum. I've done a couple workshops with them.
You?
So that's something, that was one in particular that I did with them. And that was kind of coming to writers from the perspective of writing for the page, knowing that it's going to the stage, as opposed to, so how is writing for theater different than writing a novel or writing a book of poetry or writing a radio play? Yes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the difference between a novel and a play.
Right.
A novel is not using your words, but it's kind of self-contained. You've got the writer giving us all this description, physical description. It's all there on the page.
Yep.
We use colorful words, adjectives, adverbs, you name it, and
we
paint a pretty complete picture.
Yes, and I would say that it's a solo experience.
Okay.
It's, while we can read the same story, you and I, we're going to, even if I were to sit down and read it aloud to you, we are not being shown any visuals.
Right.
So what you see in your head, what you picture, the emotions that you have, they're all going to be in relation to what you are visualizing, but you still have somebody who's giving you that that visual detail. They're setting the scene visually for you to recognize that. When it comes to the stage, the director makes that choice, right, or the set designer makes that choice in conjunction, which is why I say it's so collaborative, because really it's not just the director. Yeah. It's not just the writer setting the scene.
Writing
it's
the script.
Director saying, how do we present that?
Sure.
It's coming from a place of, when we're writing specifically for the stage, we need to think in terms of sound and vision.
Yeah.
Words, the script is meant to be seen and heard, not experienced in a vacuum.
Sure, sure. Well, you're somebody who has written some scripts.
Yes.
And what's the process for you? It's different for everybody. I mean, sometimes a story is character driven and you just go with the character. Where do they lead you?
Yes, that's a great question.
Sometimes it's you had a plot in mind. What is it for you?
Yeah. So I think sometimes I'm more of a gardener writer, where I don't necessarily come in like an engineer, where I know the literal plot from first moment to end point. I rarely come at my writing from a I know the whole story kind of a thing. What I do draw from is my own personal experience and life lessons. And something that I really try and teach my students is don't be afraid to write about the hard stuff, because it's the stuff that's hard to say, the stuff that's hard to hear, the stuff that's hard to watch people go through, the decisions that we make that connect with that human experience.
Yeah. That's going to make the powerful script.
Right.
The meaningful script.
Yeah. And with the script, seeing theater, it's a medium in which you get to manipulate the entire audience's experience to a certain degree. And the audience is just as much a part of the experience. I mean, theater's really, it's an experience for everybody that's there, because you're never going to have the exact same audience twice. And that's always going to, the actors feed off of that energy. Theater is alive. Yep. It is happening in the moment.
Yeah.
As a novel, you can go back and reread that same, and those words are going to be the same words. Mm-hmm. I will say that depending on where you are in your life and where you go back to read those words, they may impact you in a different way, and therefore it may seem like a different story to you.
That's a good point.
But it's the same story.
Yep.
And I would argue that with the stage, you're always going to have the same script, but you're always going to have a different experience, because it's every single person in that room that adds to the energy of performance becomes.
I never thought about it that way, but it's true. I mean, if you're up on stage, you are plugged into the audience, aren't you?
You have to be. If it's going to be, if it's that kind of a story where you want your audience connected,
Yeah, you hear every laugh out there, every, uncomfortable sniffle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Every awkward, they didn't laugh at that line that I thought that they would laugh at, how do you, you have to be able to, it's in the moment art.
Yeah. Let's say I want to get involved in playwriting. What kind of skills do I need?
When I teach at the college, it's important that I stress to my students that they be observers of life. Because I think a lot of people go into writing and they're like, well, if I'm going to write a story, it's got to be a really dramatic story and something really significant has to happen. And then I say, what was Breakfast Club about, right? Mm-hmm. This is about a group of people in detention, detention, there's nothing happening really. But what is happening is the human experience.
Exactly. Hey,
so how do you look at your own life experience and find the honest human moments of, this character is really uncomfortable, or they have to make a really tough choice. And maybe that tough choice is like, do I ditch school for the day or not? But it's It's the human story of like that push and pull of who am I going to be? Am I the type of person to ditch out on school or not? Yeah. And it's the story of, does the person in the audience relate to this character? What about this character speaking to everybody in the audience, or not everybody? And I think that's an important point, that as a writer, you can't cater to everybody. You're not going to be a successful writer if you're trying to tell a story to everyone.
Yeah.
Really pick who your audience is. Who are you telling this story for? If you're telling it for your mom, I can guarantee that that script is going to speak to millions more people that are moms than if you were to try and write a script for all moms or all women out there that they would universally love. You're not going to be able to please everybody. So if you know who your audience is, you know what you want from them, you know the reaction that you want, you know where you want to hit them, you know what you want them to feel. So that's always a great place to come from, is what do you want the story to evoke from your audience? Who are you speaking to?
Sure. Who are you speaking to?
That's huge.
Okay. I'm always shopping around for radio scripts and hoping sometime that I can siphon off a few of your students.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about the differences
between radio and playwriting.
Right.
And you want to say a few things about that? I'll throw in a few words myself.
Well, I think that writing for the radio, to me, feels harder than writing for theater.
Sure.
But only because I come from I think a lot of us are so used to film and television that we come from that visual medium where we can tell stories with pictures, and the radio is really the only medium apart from like audiobooks, which is basically the same thing in a way. That's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah, because you don't have the visual at all, and you're relying on the sound creating that atmosphere. Yeah. So you're really having to come from the mind of how does the sound drive the story?
Yes, how does the sound and dialogue's really important.
Dialogue is very important. And I think that dialogue can drive a story, but especially with radio and audio plays, it's more than just the voices of the characters that are going to be creating that atmosphere. Yeah. So are we hearing the clock tower on campus chiming on every hour and students bustling about, or are we at the local Starbucks where we're hearing coffee machines hissing and buzzing and different chatter? So that can, sound can very much give a more solid term of setting.
Yeah.
But I think you also have to get creative too. Like how do you think in terms of the audio story driven as opposed to telling your audience what they would be looking at otherwise, rather than telling them what they're seeing, where are they transported to because of the sound?
Where are you transported? And because it's so character driven, you probably, it's like that first play you wrote. It helps if there's something outrageous about one or two of your characters.
I would say that As a new writer, sometimes going with crazy off the wall characters can actually be a little easier because you're willing to let them do crazy things. And then I just draw people back in and go, okay, well, where's the truth and the humanity of that? Like, yes, they're doing some really crazy things, but what's the real motive under them doing these things? And if you can get me to believe that, go for it. Right. Okay. So, but I think sometimes writing these, what we would think extra crazy characters, they don't need to do anything extra crazy, but it gives the writer a little more permission to more quirks.
If they're quirky, they become comedic in a way. And that distances you a little bit from what's really personal.
Yeah. Well, again, is this a character, though, that you want your audience to identify with or not? I mean, because humor can be used in that way, too, where you can have a character that's awkward, you know, it's hard, it's awkward, but it's funny because they're awkward and they're not funny.
Well, you know, you're making me think of a lot of things that I have not considered. Boy, I wish I could find time to take one of your courses because...
You can stop in at the college anytime, Alay, sitting on a class.
Well, good.
Tell my supervisor. No, I don't know if I should say that, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn. I'm having fun with it, but I always know that getting somebody else's perspective, especially someone like you, can only help.
Well, I'm honored, but I wish I knew more about the radio storytelling medium. We will get there. We're going to learn together.
Yeah, we're collaborators.
Okay,
now.
I love it.
Okay, well, I think we're just about at the end of our time. You've been listening to Jessica Fletcher. She teaches at the college. She's involved in all kinds of theater arts here in Reading. Cascade Theater, Axiom. What is Harris? I saw Harris.
Oh, I don't even know if she's Harris Studios anymore. That's Trish Harris's studio.
Okay.
She's,
I don't know what she's Cascade, doing. Riverfront.
I would say Axiom,
mostly.
Axiom,
big time right now. Yeah. You're heavily involved in Axiom. And, and you are in the Vagina Monologues through September.
I am in the Vagina Monologues. So Axiom Theater has a summer repertory schedule this summer, which is different than most of the theaters in town here have. So usually you'll have 3 weekends in a row. Riverfront's got Clue coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Put in a little plug for them.
Sure.
Clue is going to be opening. So Clue will probably, they're going to be like 3 or 4 weekends in a row, 5 weekends in a row. I don't know how long they're doing it, but they have a set run where they are the only show on that stage for however many weekends in a row. The repertory season is run completely different, where we have 6-7 shows all going on at once, but in rep. So I am in the Vagina Monologues. I think overall we have 10 to 12 performances, but those are all spread out from end of June, early July. I'm sorry. Yeah. End of June, early July until September. But we don't perform every weekend. So I've got Vagina Monologues on a Thursday night and a Saturday matinee on one weekend. And then I have the next weekend off. And then I get to perform the following Friday night. And that means that there are 6 or 7, I believe 4 or 5 shows going on for within any given weekend. So you've got a Thursday night show, Friday night show, Saturday matinee, night show, and a Sunday matinee.
Phew.
And you've got, you know, 4 or 5 shows that are all kind of moving around in there.
Wow.
Which I'm so happy for Axiom that they have come this far. They've just had their auditions for the 5th season. And I know that they just have lots of big plans. And, you know, I love this rep schedule because it allows me as a mom to get to be in a show but not have to be committed to that performance schedule for 3 weekends in a row. But, you know, it's like I can give away my Thursday night here and my Saturday afternoon have the next weekend with my kids, and then the following weekend I can do another show and kids get to come see me on this night.
All right. Well, it's been a real pleasure having you here, Jessica.
Thank you for having me, Jim. I appreciate being here.
Yeah, you've been listening to an interview with Jessica Fletcher and on Right Stuff. And it's been really interesting, and maybe down the line we'll have you on again.
I would
love
that.
With a little luck. Great,
please.
Great.
Yes.
Okay, this is KKRN, 88.5 FM, community radio out of Round Mountain, and it's listener-supported, so if you want to make a donation, go to our website at kkrn.org. You can click on the donate button, or maybe you have an old car or truck you want to get rid of. Well, you can go to careasy.org and get some money to KKRN. It really helps. All right. Good evening, and thanks for listening.